chapel, take your glasses off or put them on, whatever you need to do. Thank you, Gail. And then we'll take care of that. There are two handouts. The one that we're looking at is, it says page Tuf Resh Tes Zion. And there is the wrong one. Tuf Resh Yud Zion on the top left. It says Tuf Resh Yud Zion. And about 10 lines down into the paragraph, it says letter Tes Zion. Tes Zion. Now, this is talking about when Rivka Imenu has been brought back with Eliezer to become Yitzchak Avinu's wife. And we'll read the pasuk in the Torah here, where it's, I'll read it out from the Chumash. It's at the very end of Perek Chaf Dalet. And it says as follows, Vayivieha Yitzchak Ohela Sora Ima. Yitzchak brought her, meaning Rivka, to the tent, we'll say, of Sora, his mother. Vayikaches Rivka, and he took Rivka, vatihilo le'isha, and she became for him as his wife, or as a wife. Vayehoveho, and he loved her. Vayinochem Yitzchak achare imo, and Yitzchak was comforted for his mother. The loss of his mother, Sora Imenu, he is not fully comforted until he marries Rivka. So that's the pasuk in the Torah. And we're going to see some of the Mephorshim here, and then we're going to take a look at the Midrash. Now, a few things. One is that she was the dugma of Sora. This is Rashi. She was similar to Sora. And all these three things we're going to be familiar with, but the Midrash is going to expand on it. So Rashi says, Shekol Zaman Shesora Kayemeth, when Sora Imenu was alive, Hoya Ner Doluk Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos, there was a candle burning from one Erev Shabbos to the next, Ubrocha Mitzuya Be'isa, and there was a blessing in the dough, Va'anon Koshur Al Ha'ohel, and there was a cloud that was connected to the tent. Umishamesa pasku, when Sora Imenu died, these three things stopped. Ukishabas Rivka chazru, and when Rivka came, they all returned. Okay, that's Rashi. Now, I also want to read out for you a Ramban. I'll paraphrase it. The Ramban says that Me'esha Mesa Sora, when Sora Imenu died, Lo Natu Ahalo, they didn't allow her tent to be used by anybody. Ki Amru Lo Tavo Isha Acheres El Oel Hagavira Hanichbedes, that it wouldn't be right for any other woman to come into Sora Imenu's tent. She was such a great woman, no one else can fill her shoes. B'kasher ra'a Rivka, and when Yitzchak Avinu saw Rivka, however, hevia el ha'ohel hahu lichvoda, he brought her to Sora's tent in honor of Rivka. V'sham lukacha, and there she was taken. And that's what it means when it says vayehaveha, and he loved her, and he was comforted. It shows that he was mitzta'ir ma'od al imo. He was very pained on the loss of his mother, Sora Imenu, which had occurred many years earlier. V'rachak mimenu menachem, and he had a hard time becoming comforted, ad shenichem be'ishto, until he was comforted by his wife. Ba'ahavaso osa, in his love for her. So the Ramban says, why would the Torah mention Yitzchak Avinu's love for Rivka, the love of a husband for his wife? And the idea is because of the great person who she was. the Torah is trying to say to us that Rivka Imenu has outstanding traits, midos tovos, similar to Sora Imenu, and Yitzchak Avinu's love for her is founded on the beauty of her milos tovos. And that's why the Torah tells us that. And Unkelus is Metargim. The Ramban brings Unkelus, and it says, Vihinehi Sora Imo, the idea and meaning, I'll read Unkelus itself. Unkelus says, Va'a'ala Yitzchak Lamashka, no, Yitzchak went into the tent, he brought Rivka into the tent, Va'chaza, and he saw, V'ha saknin ovdaha ka'ovdei Sora Ime, that her maisim, her deeds, were good and mesukan, refined, like Sora his mother. So Rivka Imenu now comes on the scene, and she is a very fitting next generation wife for Yitzchak Avinu after Avraham and Sora. That's the background from which our Midrash will then proceed. So take a look there at your pages. And again, we're going to be on letter Tes Zayin, which is about 10 lines down from the top of the page. And the page of the two is the one that says Tuf Resh Yud Zayin on the top left. Everybody got it? Yeah? Okay. So, Zok the Midrash Vayivi'echa Yitzchak Ha'ohela Sora Ima. Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sora, his mother. Kol yamim shehoisa Sora kayemes. This is the midrash that Rashi is going on. That during this time, when Sora Imenu was alive, haya anan kosher al Pesach ohala, there was a cloud connected to the opening of her tent. Kevan shemesa, when she died, Pesach oso anan, then that cloud disappeared, went away. Bekevan Shabbos Rivka Chazar Oso Anan. When Rivka came, the cloud reappeared. It returned. That's one. Two, Kol Yamin Shehoisa Sora Kayemes. During the time when Sora Imenu was alive, Hayu Dulasos Pesuchos Lirvacha. The opening of the tents, meaning of Avraham and Sora, were open all the way around. Like we say, they had their tent open on four sides in order to welcome guests. So Avram and Sora Imenu, their tent, they wanted to make sure that anybody who came from any direction would have easy access into their home so they could be machnis orchim. Now this is a new one. Rashi does not bring this. So this midrash says, Sora's tent, and what I think this means is Avraham's tent, based on Sora's motivation, was wide open. V'kevan shemesa Sora paska osa harvacha. And once Sora died, then that openness ceased. Now, another pshat in the word harvacha here is that she served plenty. She served lots of food. You know all about that, right? So when guests came, she made sure that they had plenty to eat. That's harvacha. And when she died, that stopped, and then Rivka comes, and now it all comes back. Became in Shabbos Rivka Chazra Osa Harvacha. When Rivka comes back, that Harvacha, that openness, that plenty, now it all returned. So that's two, and as I said, that's a new one for us. Rashi doesn't bring that down. V'chal Yamim Shehoisa Sora Kayemes, Hoisa Bracha Meshulach Aspi Isa. When Sora was alive, the dough was blessed. Became in Shemesa Sora Paska Osa HaBracha. When Sora died, that bracha ceased. Kevan Shabbos Rivka Chazra. Rivka came back. Rivka came and now it returns. That's three. Kol yamim shehoisa Sora kayemes hoya nerdolek milele Shabbos va'adlele Shabbos. When Sora was alive, the candle was lit in her home from one Erev Shabbos to another. The Kevan Shemesa, when she died, pasak oso haner, the ner stopped, became in Shabbos Rivka Chazar. And when Rivka came, it came back. It returned. Now, just a little comment on this for a minute, that why does the Midrash point out that the Ner was lit from Friday to Friday, Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos? you kind of think it would be lit on Erev Shabbos. What's the idea of it lasting the whole week? So some of the Mephorishim say it was a nes. That Sora Imenu's candle, she lit it, and it was every Friday, and it would last the whole week. And it was B'derech Nes. A little bit similar to Hanukkah. Like the oil just didn't run out.
Did she light it
on Erev Shabbos, and it would last the whole week, and then she'd light it again the next week, and it would last a whole week. So one of the Mephorshim makes the Marzu, he makes mention of a Midrash earlier in Bereshis, when it says that Hashem blessed Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day, Vayivorech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i. So the Midrash there has a few different opinions on what does it mean Hashem blessed the seventh day. So one of them is the Bercha Baman, it was blessed with Man, there was a double portion that fell on Friday. And then Rabbi Eliezer says there that Borcha Ba'or, Hashem blessed Shabbos with light. And the idea of light coming down into the world on Shabbos and a woman lighting their Shabbos, specifically a woman, that's one of her special mitzvahs, it is consistent with the idea that Shabbos is blessed with light. And then right after that, this same Tana in the Midrash relates a nes that happened to him once with Ner Shabbos, that they lit a Ner Shabbos in their home on Friday and it lasted the entire week till the next Shabbos. And it was a nes because there was only enough oil for one light. So this Midrash seems to be implying not just that there was light in her tent, that Sora Imenu lit the candle Erev Shabbos, but that every single week it would last the entire week. So there's a nes going on in her tent every week. Elke, you had a hand up before?
Yeah, sorry,
please.
Just a technical question
yeah,
about the tent.
Yeah.
So I sort of always pictured like Sarah's tent next to Abraham's tent. Now, where was Yitzchak's tent? And then, so if Rivka's tent, Rivka would be staying in Sarah's tent next to Abraham, where was Yitzchak?
Yeah, so I don't know in terms of the global positioning of the tent. I don't know. But what we do know is that Sora's tent was kept just as it was when she died. That's what the Ramban is saying. They wouldn't let anybody take that tent until Rivka came. So I would assume that once Yitzchak and Rivka are married, that he's going to be in closer proximity to her. How they worked out the logistics, if they snitch, I don't know. I also don't know, but she was making dough in her tent. We know that from last week's parsha, right? She made dough.
So it wasn't a separate tent for the kitchen.
I don't think so, but again, I really don't know how they set it up.
Right.
Did she have her own separate kitchen tent and Pesach kitchen tent?
Right, exactly.
Maybe she did.
Yeah,
but they did, because they're making matzahs, right? Making matzahs, so they, in some way Pesach was there. So I don't know how that all worked out, but we do know Sora was one making the dough.
Right.
With the bracha mitzvah beis, was it her tent or a separate kitchen tent?
And
but,
so also, when you say the openings, so
yeah. So that means there was a door on all four sides. I would interpret that to mean Avraham's tent. It wouldn't be tsanua for Sora Imenu to have people coming into her tent all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that means her tent.
Unless there were literally separate rooms that they could come into this sort
like the main area.
Hallway
yeah.
area that was open, but then there was a separate.
Yeah, possibly again. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, please, sorry. Yeah.
Does that mean that the openings are there that Avraham could not continue having the guests he was having himself?
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. That all of that plenty and guests coming in, that was because of Sora Imenu's presence, as great as the Baal Chesed of Avraham Avinu was. But Sora, right, Sora's completely a part of that and almost seems to be the makor, because when she dies, it stops. There's no more Pasuach L'Ravacha. So either it's her zechus or her nature or her welcoming nature and motivating the household to be like that, and Avraham is like that himself anyway. So all of that seems to come to a halt, like pus cut. Yeah. Yeah, please.
When Rivka, when Sarah dies, the doors were closed,
They kept that tent reserved. Nobody didn't bring anybody in there. That was just for nobody, because Sori Meina was so great, nobody can go into that until Rivka comes.
Okay.
There's another hand up? Yeah, please.
Does this relate to the three special necklaces?
It does. But we're going to get to that. It does relate to Nida, Chala, and Halakas Haner, the three special mitzvahs of her mitzvah. Yes, it does. Directly relates to that. Yeah. Yeah.
She came with her nurse. How could Yitzchak be comforted by 3-year-olds?
So we don't know, the Madrega of Rivka Imenu, what she was like at 3. Most girls at 3 are not at that point where they're ready to be married and start a household, right? But according to that opinion, it's not all opinions, sometimes she was 13, it makes it a little better. So that would seem to mean that she had all of those great abilities even at a tender age of 3. And that also means that she was watering all those camels at age 3. So it's something highly unusual according to that opinion. Yeah. Another question? Yeah, same? Yeah. Okay, now the last one here, and continuing in the Midrash. The Kevan Shura Osa Shehi Osa Kamasa Imo Kotsa Chalasa B'Tahara V'kotza isasa b'tahara, when he saw that she did like his mother did, that she separated chala and separated dough b'tahara, in the state of tahara, miyad v'ayvi'eha Yitzchak ha'ohela, Yitzchak brings her to the tent, which is the tent, the special tent of Sora Imenu. And we mentioned last week that in Avram Avinu's household, they ate chulin al taharas ha'kodesh. Even the ordinary food they ate it as if it was kodshim. So they kept the laws of Tumen Tahara completely, even with chulin, with regular food. Now take a look first at the 8th Joseph commentary, which is on the right side of the margin there. And it's well past halfway down. It's about 12 lines up from the end of the column, where it says letter Tes Zayin and Tes Vav. Kol Yamin. You got that there? Kol Yamim, in the Eitz Yosef, right column. So, what's the diuk here that they're making? And there is a little bit of an awkward language, the Vayivya, ha-ohela Sarah imo, right? To the tent, Sarah, his mother. There's a word missing there. So the Avnezer says it should say, meaning it's meant to say, ha-ohela, ohel Sarah imo, to the tent of Sarah, his mother. Shaloha yela lomar ella ohela sara imo. It should say, and he brought her ohela to the tent of sara imo. Ella shabalder mos behe rishona. But there's a remez when it puts a letter he at the beginning of that word and it makes it ha ohela. That letter is trying to bring something out. That means there's something happening here that we have to pay attention to. That letter hey is not necessary. Could have just said ohela. Shehei devorim shahayu bizman sara chazru kishenichnisa Rivka. That the Eitz Yosef says there were 5 special things that occurred with Sara Imenu. That's the letter hey, 5. And they all returned when Rivka came and married Yitzchak. Ubohem hikr Yitzchak shahoysa shukula ki ima v'samach ba. And with those things, Yitzchak recognizes that she is equal to his mother, she is a great woman in her own right, and he becomes very happy with her, with who Rivka is. V'chamisha devorim hu. So what are the 5 things? Number 1, onan, the cloud. 2, delosos pesuchos l'ravacha. The doors were wide open to guests, and she provided for them with plenty. 3, bracha bi'isa, there was a blessing in the dough. 4, ner, there was a candle there. And 5, kotza chalasa bi'isasa b'tahara. She separated her dough and separated her chala in a state of tahara. So those 2 things, the other 2 the Rashi doesn't mention, the Midrash brings them out, ha'ohela, letter hey, 5 things. Now just interesting to note, we don't have to look at it, but the commentary on the other side says it was four things, not five. He doesn't include the last one of separating dough b'tahara as one of the five things. He just adds the one about the house being wide open. Okay, now go to the bottom. Oh, we don't have this in this one, so I have it in mine. I'm going to read it out to you because this commentary called Eshed HaNecholim, which brings different mafarshim of the Midrash, it's not in this particular Midrash. This, by the way, this Midrash Rabbah is excellent. The older versions are very hard to read. The print is hard to read. It's very squishy. And they made this one, and he has a lot of mafarshim on it, so it's very, very good. This is all Hebrew. Now, another outstanding job of the Midrash is the Art School Midrash, and they completed the Chamisha Chumashay Torah just last year. And the print is outstanding. It's all translated on the page next to it, and sometimes with the Midrash, you really need that translation. It's hard, sometimes hard words. And a lot of Mephorshim, plus their own, as they always do, their own commentary on the bottom. So they are a little pricey. You might have to buy one volume at a time as you go through the sections of the Torah. A little pricey, but it's very good to have because it opens up the Midrash a lot. So I'm just going to read this out loud from Eshed HaNecholim, and it goes back to what Gilad said about the three special mitzvahs of a woman. So Anan Kashur, a cloud that was connected to the tent. Chashav Mikama Devorim, the Midrash here enumerates many things where Rivka was similar to Sarah. Asar be'inyanim elokiim. Number one, in godly things, in godly matters, in terms of her relationship to Hashem. Me'anan kosher. That is represented by the cloud. The cloud always, in Torah, represents a hashras hashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Mishkan, there's a cloud there. When he goes up to the top of Har Sinai, he goes into a cloud, Onon Va'arafel. A cloud is Hashra'as Hashchina. So that represents Sora's relationship to Hashem, her own personal relationship with God. Umitovas Liba Livnei Adam, and then another dimension of her outstanding character was her good heart in relationship to other people. Shehoisa besa pasuach l'ravacha, that her house was wide open, l'ha'achil ani'im ve'avyonim, to give food to poor people. So, v'chein hoya bracha elokis bebesa, and therefore there was a blessing from Hashem on her house. So her bayis pasuach l'ravacha, that one of the five items here, that shows her good heart. Now Hashem's blessing there, v'chein hoya ner daluk tamid, there is a candle that's always going in her house from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, and here's where he says, ulai hayu zos aderech nes. This may have been a miracle that she lit at Erev Shabbos and it lasted for the whole week. It says ulai, it could have been a nes, like Hanukkah. He didn't say that. That's my own comment. It could not have been a nace because it could mean she was constantly lighting the candle in her house. So there was always light in her house from one week to the next. So we're not sure that it was a nace, but maybe it was. Or it could also reflect the pasuk in Eshes Chayil, that the candle does not go out in her home at nighttime. Kolomar shlo hoysa yosheves betela, that she never just sat around doing nothing. Kim osekas b'inyana tamba, she was always busy in her home taking care of her home. Do not misquote me and say Rabbi Goldberger said we don't have to rest, right? I didn't say that. Always have to rest, especially women have to rest, all the hard work that you do. So the idea of the Nair being constantly burning, it's either an ace or it's the light of her home, or it represents her constantly being busy taking care of her household, her family, the guests, all those things. That's what it. So the pasuk is saying when Yitzchak Avinu sees Rivka and who she is and what she does, and her character, and her ma'asim tovim. Im ken kol ha'nisim ha'elu misi basa u'mitov ma'aseha. Now he realizes that because they were all gone when Sarah died, and now they're all coming back, well, this is about Rivka. This is about who Rivka is. Ki b'techilo chashav ulai chazu ha'devorim rak b'zuchu Sarah. Because at first he thought, according to this commentary, maybe Sarah Imenu's Zechus just brought those things back into the house. Almost like she's up there in Shemaim, you know, pulling the strings and davening, so her Zechus causes all those things to return to her home, even though she's no longer here. So Yitzchak is thinking, maybe that's what it is, and then he realizes, no. Shara'a ma'aseha domi lama'ase ima, when he sees the person who Rivka is, as having sharak bizuchusa hema, then he understands it's all in the merit of Rivka and who he is. She's a special person in her own right. Right? A lot of, in my opinion, you know, deep psychological insights here of a man and his love for his mother and then his love for his wife. And the mother's gone, and he has to get over that, and he has to attach himself to his wife. And he even needs to do that when his mother is alive, not to wait till she dies before he truly loves his wife. That's not an easy emotional transition, and it's usually happening, you know, on a level where people are not even aware of it. But the Torah says, Al kein ya'azov ish es avi ve'es imo v'dovak v'ishto. A man has to leave his father and his mother and be close to his wife. So it seems here like Yitzchak Avinu is mourning after his mother, b'derech kavod. His mourning for his mother is considered to be a mitzvah of kibud eim. And he's still in that until Rivka Imenu comes along, but then Yitzchak Avinu makes the transition. Like he actually is able to transfer and say, okay, that was one woman in his life, his mother, and now this is the next woman in his life, his wife. The Torah is making a point that he's comforted now, and he's able to make that transition. I think it's very significant, because all of these dynamics are happening in people's lives and relationships to parents and children, not easy things to manage. The Torah, why is it bringing this out? In my view, to let us know that Yitzchak Avinu made the transition, and he made it in a thorough way. Mrs. Pham, was your hand up? No, Linda? Yeah, please.
I just wanted to know who the Mechorish was.
Okay, this is called Eshed HaNecholim. I don't know the Mechaber.
Olive
Shindah, which means like a flow of water. So Eshed HaNecholim, the flow of water of the river. The flow of the river, that would be a good way to say it. Yeah, Linda, please.
Yeah.
They knew how to do it. They knew how to start fires.
I thought they just always tried to keep something.
I mean, you would think so, because that would be much easier, right? Instead of doing, you know, right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, that's very possible. That's very possible. That's kind of similar to what he was saying there, that she's looking after her household and making sure everything is operating. She's making sure that source fire doesn't go out, so they have to start another. Could be. Good thing, yeah. Okay.
But what I wanted to say is, does get married when they're 3 years old. But if before their bat mitzvah, you know, this is kind of like, I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How can they lie? How does it count? Like, do you get in your soul when you get married, and therefore it doesn't matter if you're before bat mitzvah? If that's all very complicated.
It's a difficult subject halachically as well, in terms of a ketana being married and how that works. And a husband and wife can be together when she's that young. Difficult subject. So some actually say that Rivka Yemenu, that in her being 13, that happened when she was 3, when she was at the well, but they didn't get married till she was 13. You have an idea like that. So anyway, that's a difficult halachic subject, how that all happens. But it's not an easy subject. Nothing I could summarize in a minute or two. Yeah. And it's not encouraged. And I love it. It's not encouraged to marry a girl. Nowadays, of course, that would never happen. But not so long ago, girls were getting married at age 14 and 15. It's not so long ago. but younger than bas mitzvah, that's already strange and not good. So this is an exception
of us.
You're saying because of the mitzvah of chinuch that's upon them, and it's not really, they're not obligated to do so. So we have to deal with all the, I can't give you an answer just like that. That's too complicated. Yeah, Mrs. Fan, please. Right. So her age three, right, is a different, it's more like that she was a young woman at age three in some miraculous kind of way. Rabbi Sim, please, yeah.
Two things. One is
yes.
That it reminds me of the Makos.
The Makos?
Yeah, it wasn't 10, it was 50, it wasn't 50, it was 200, it was 3,
it
was 5. And I was just saying that, I think Chazal Zika says lighting candles is to bring shalom into the house.
Shabbos candles.
Right, so I think maybe there is an idea here that there was shalom in their tent from Shabbos to Shabbos.
Nice.
And I'm wondering if she told Avraham Avinu to send out Yishmael on Erev Shabbos, like right when the Shalom was like, had to be rekindled, like it was the right time to make that.
Send it out, right.
And also, is it noteworthy that the Imahos didn't have to deal with mother-in-laws?
The Imahos did not have to deal with mother-in-laws?
Of course, we all love our mother-in-laws, but I'm just
because they died before they came, is that what you mean?
Well,
Thora dies before Rivka comes.
Right. Yaakov gets sent
yes,
away.
Yes, Rivka also. Rivka passes away before Yaakov comes home. Yeah, the Torah is merames to that. It's interesting. Yeah. I'm sure they'd all be very good daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law.
Absolutely.
Of course. Aviva, yeah, please. It seems to be pretty short. I don't know how much time we're talking about, because she comes right back with Eliezer. They're trying to make Eliezer stay, you know, but he knows he's got to get out of Laban's house as fast as he can. Yaakov gets stuck there for 20 years a little later on. And that happens pretty quickly, and she comes, she meets Yitzhak, she sees him, she's in awe of him, they get married. So right there, that time, which brings us up to your question, how long was this? I don't know, but it seems to me that it was a pretty short period of time.
I know that in Briyas HaOlam, you know, Gracious Baruch Hu, Yemen Yom Echad and Yom Sheni, we don't know how long those days were.
Right.
Are we talking about the same thing here?
No.
A day was a day.
A day was a day, right. A day was a day. The Ramban even says in Bereshis, a day was a day. He contends with that. Some say it was 1,000 years. But you do have opinions on both sides there.
But here
a day is a day, a 24-hour day.
But if she was three and they waited until she was 13, then that's 10
then that
years.
Would be 10 years, right?
And he's seeing her.
Right, but I don't know. You know, it's not clear how much time there was here. So yes, let's say it could have been 10 years if they waited 3 to 13. It could have been 10 years. But if she was 13 when this happened, it wasn't. There was another hand up. Yeah, please. All of them. All of these things that were coming back, he's thinking maybe it's Sarah Imenu Zechus. And as he sees Rivka's character and who she is, he really understands it's her. Yeah, but still he doesn't know. He's still not sure. Is it her? Is it his mother? What's bringing this about? And then he gets to the point where he really fully knows it's Rivka. It's Rivka's own Maisim Tovim that are bringing this all about.
So even Avakota, Isasa, the Tahara, like all of those, could have just been.
Well, the last one is a little different.
It seems like it's her effort.
Yeah.
She prepares herself. The
right.
Tahara,
yeah. The last one's different. And maybe that's why the Maharzu, the other commentary, doesn't count it as one of the five. That's something that she does. What do you have to wait? There's nothing happening as a result of it, it's just something she's doing. The other things they're reappearing. So why are they reappearing? What's happening here? And then he realizes for sure it's Rivka. So now back to Gail's question. I thought it was in the Eshet HaNechon. It's probably in a different commentary. So Nida Chala and Halakas Haner. Nida corresponds to the Anan, the tent, the cloud on the tent, because that's the Hashro'as Hashchina as a result of Taharas HaMishpacha. That's the cloud. Chala is Bracha Mitzuya Be'isa. Her dough was blessed. That corresponds to that mitzvah. Hadlakas Haner corresponds, of course, to the Ner Daluk Me'erv Shabbos Le'erv Shabbos. So the three special mitzvahs of a woman are all merumas here in what was happening in Sara Imenu's tent. They're all direct connections except for the Anan on the Ohel. That needs a little bit of conceptualization that's a result of Taharas HaMishpacha and the laws of Nida. Yeah, Elka, please.
When her dough was blessed, that it didn't get stale?
Probably not getting stale, probably being plenty to fill people up with just small amounts, like is brought down in the Lechem HaPanim in the Beis HaMikdash, just a small amount would sustain a person. Those are usually the brachos that are associated with bread. It doesn't go stale, and it fills people up very easily. Don't know, because the Avraham Avinu is now looking for a shidduch after the Akedah, after Sara Imenu dies.
Right.
And how long a period of time that was, I don't know.
Because don't we know how old Yitzchak was when he...
Yeah, Yitzchak was, at the Akedah he was 37,
right?
And then was it, the Torah says, I forgot, anybody remember offhand? How old he was? Was he 60? 40, and then she, it was 40 to 60 that Rivka didn't have children. I'm not remembering right now. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Then it could be 3 years. Yeah. If that's correct, I think that was. It's we're right up there in the Torah. It's a shame I can't remember that offhand. All right, he's born when he's 37. Right, then she'd be three. Right. Right, thank you. So she's born at the Akedah, so then she would, if he marries her at 40, she's 3 at that time. And then 40 to 60, they don't have children, if I'm remembering correctly. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
She's been 10 years.
10 years? So that's 20, right? I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What time do we got?
10:15.
Okay. So officially it's over, but no one's coming in, so I'm going to read all this. Okay, right. All right, so just take a look at your other page for a minute. Just kind of a fascinating thing. We can't do them before Shemana, but we'll read through the Midrash. Letter Tes Vav on your page there, a little bit past half the way down. Vatisa Rivka Eseneha Vatera Es Yitzhak. We're going backward chronologically. So Rivka lifts up her eyes. She's coming back with Eliezer, and she sees Yitzchak in the distance. Amar Rav Huna says, Tzafas sheyado shtucha batfila. She saw that his arm was outstretched in prayer. Amra, so she said, Vadai adam gadol hu. This is most certainly a great man. When she sees him davening, she gets it right away. Who he is. Lekach sho'ala alav. Therefore she asked about him. Because she says to Eliezer, Miho ish halazeh, who is that man? And the Midrash says that's not common that Rivka would ask that question. Why is she asking about a man? So the reason is because she's struck by his tefillah and she realizes he's an Adam Gadol. Batipol me'al ha'gomel. So literally, she falls off the camel. That's not what it means. Isrichinus. She lets herself slide down off her camel a little bit. Hech ma da'at omar ki yipo lo yutalik. It says in Tehillim, when you fall, you shall not be fully taken away. Meaning, it's not a full fall. She doesn't fall off her camel, but she slips down in her camel, and that's out of Yura. She's in awe of Yitzchak. Vatomer elo Eved. And she says to the Eved, meaning Eliezer, she says, Miho ish halazeh, who is this man? Rabbi Chiya says, Ro'asa oso hadur v'toha mipanav. She saw that he was outstanding in his appearance, and she was in awe of him. So she's immediately struck by Yitzchak's presence, both that he's davening and simply also how he looked, his demeanor. Heich ma da'at omar hine ba'al ha'chalomot ha'lazeh ba. And they get that from a comparison to the word ha'lazeh. Later on in the Torah, when Yosef's brothers are plotting against him, and Yosef is coming, so they say to each other, look, Baal ha-chalomos ha-lo-ze-ba. The dreamer is coming, but he uses the word alazeh, meaning there's an outstanding person coming our way. Ha-lo-ze is an unusual word. So in that case, it was to the negative. But here it's to the positive. And when she says to Eliezer, ha-ish ha-lo-ze, it's clear that she's recognizing in him somebody great. Rabbanan Amri hu upil sono. The Chachamim say it means he and his accompanying angel, that he had a malach that would go with him when he went, and Rivka Imenu perceives that. She perceives that malach. Halazeh, what does that mean? Alon zeh. The Midrash says alon means acher. There's somebody else with him. So she sees some other being along with him. What is it? It's his malach. Vayomer ho'eved hu Adoni. So Eliezer replies, he is my master. Shetayim, so what happens then? She slides off her camel and she covers herself. Batiskos. She puts a veil on over her face. So the Midrash comments, Shtayim heim sheniskasu b'tzi'if v'yoldu ta'omim. There were two women who covered themselves with a veil and they gave birth to twins. Rivka v'Tamar. Fascinating, right? Rivka covers herself with her veil, she gives birth to twins, Yaakov and Esav. Tamar covers herself when Yehuda is coming on the way, she gives birth to Peretz and Zorach. Rivka v'Tika Chatzoif. We see Rivka covered herself with her veil, as it says v'Tika Chatzoif. And Tamar, it says, v'Tachas Batzoif v'Tis Allah. She covered herself with her veil, and she disguised herself. Then the last comment of the Midrash, and the Eved, Eliezer, tells Yitzchak everything that happened. So the Torah there is being very concise. Right? With Eliezer's story, he told the whole thing twice, all over again, the whole rendition, Nochamo, right? Now the Torah goes back to its usual ways and says, and Eliezer told him everything that happened. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Kololeha shel Torah merubi miprateha, that the general statements of the Torah, which include a lot, are much more numerous than the specific statements of the Torah, which the Torah is usually not that specific. It's concise with its words, and there's subtleties and ramazim. So here it's one of those instances. It doesn't say what Eliezer said, what Eliezer said to Avraham, to Yitzhak. She'ilu ba'lich tov, because if the Torah would have written everything that Eliezer said to Yitzhak, shnayim u'shlosha da'apin hayakoseh, that would take two or three pages, right? That's a lot of ink to retell the whole story again. So the Torah doesn't. V'rabbanan amri, the chachamim say, no, it was something specific that he told him. Divrei shavach gilolo. He told Yitzchak the praiseworthy, amazing things that happened when he was on his journey. Beit Yosef says, Nisim shena asulo. He told Yitzchak the miracles that happened. Masha kufsa ha'oretz lefanav. That when he went to get Rivka, he had kefitzas haderech. All of a sudden, he was there in a miraculous way. So anything of a miraculous nature, Eliezer told it over to Yitzchak. So the question is, why? Why did he do that? Maybe he's saying to Yitzhak, she's the one. Right? Look at all these things that happened. Don't think I made a mistake. Look at these nisim that occurred. This is the one who's meant for you. And that kind of flows very nicely into the first one that we saw, that Yitzhak does observe in Rivka all the things, the great qualities that she has. Yashar Koch, everybody. Have a great week. Have a good Shabbos. It's nice to learn this in a woman's shir, right? But it goes in to Rivka, Imenu, Sora, Imenu. We see who they are a little bit, right? Thanks, Hannah. Didn't have that to go.
Hi, thanks. Morning.